Hi, my name is Jeff Pagano and welcome to the Harpen and Rugby Podcast, the Leinster and Ireland fan site in audio form. Welcome to our end of year podcast special. The quiz portion was recorded back on December 13th with the questions based on 8 matches from the calendar year involving Leinster, Ireland and the Lions. And it's not like there's been much more rugby to harp on since then anyway. There was the expected bonus point win over Bath in the Aviva Stadium before 2 postponements. And when you think about it, the year of 2021 was more defined by events off the pitch than on. Obviously, top of that list is COVID and how the sport managed to cobble together top-level competitions around it. This, of course, includes the Lions Tour, which went ahead despite a surge in cases down in South Africa that led to me making a decision not to cover the tour matches on the website, as I felt it would have been better that the tour didn't go ahead at all. Then, of course, you had the whole Razzie video debacle after the Lions won the first test. Eventually, something new came into being in 2021, namely the United Rugby Championship. This also involved South Africa, which meant it was always going to be more affected by COVID than other tournaments, and a quick look at the table right now will show you how much disruption there has been, with only Benetton having played a match in all 8 rounds so far, and almost half the league playing only 5 times. But despite the normal complaints from a pocket of Welsh supporters, the overall response to the new branding has been positive, and hopefully the backlog of matches will be cleared soon. We also had some off-field controversy in December when Montpellier were awarded a 28-0 victory over Leinster for COVID reasons, despite the fact that other postponed matches were going to be replayed somehow. If you look in the program notes, you'll see what I had to say about that on the website. But by far the most significant off-field rugby-related topic of 2021 had to do with the Irish women's team. The debate over how they've been treated by the IRFU was there long before what happened in Donnybrook during the Interprovincials, but that definitely brought the discussion to a wider audience, and the unsuccessful qualifying campaign for the 2022 World Cup highlighted the need for change even further. Next, we had talk of a review into the women's game by the governing body, but when the outgoing CEO Philip Brown suggested the report would not be made fully public, there was still a need for action, and at the time we were doing our recording, a group of 62 players and coaches from past and present had just lobbied the government to get involved, a move which has since brought promises of more transparency, so the future is looking bright for now. So anyway, now it's time to get to that actual recording. I invited 4 fellow rugby fans to take part in the quiz, dividing them into 2 teams and putting questions to them based on 8 matches from 2021 that I considered to be significant. One team was called the Forwards, represented by Mark Jackson making his 8th appearance and Tom Coleman taking time out from his birthday celebrations to make his 5th. And they were up against the Backs, featuring Connor Cronin earning his 13th cap and Gavin Hegarty, who was making his debut on the pod after leaving a host of great post-match comments on our Facebook page over the years. Now here's how the quiz worked. There were 8 questions in all, with each player getting 2. I read out a quote from the Harpen on Rugby write-up of a match during 2021. There was a name bleeped out, and if they were able to guess the name straight away, their team got 7 points. If I had to give them A, B, C, D options before they got it, they were awarded 5 points. And if they had to consult with their teammate to reach the answer, it was worth 3. Finally, a wrong answer meant the opposition was able to intercept for the points that were left behind. It was all a bit of crack, and the final result ended up close. So without any further ado, here's how we got on. So we got Tom and Mark are the forwards, and Gav and Connor are the backs. Okay.
Has everyone been called a back, Gav?
I just tossed the coin.
Since I was 8.
We're doing it that way. All right. So we're going to start with Tom, if that's okay.
That's okay, yeah.
And I just want to pick a number between 1 and 8.
And we'll go from there. Mark said 5 furlongs, so we'll go number 3.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, 3. We'll see what number 3 is. All right. Now, this is from that match at La Rochelle in the semi-final. They weren't all good days for Leinster, Ireland, or the Lions. So the La Rochelle defeat, okay? And the quote is this. James Lowe made a superb tackle on Dylan Lades. Yet while he had his hands up to show he was trying to roll away, referee decided he was trapping the ball with his feet. Now, do you want to answer that yourself or do you want the options? I'm going to throw in a use it call as well.
Yeah, go. Options.
You want the options. Okay. A, Matthew Carley. B, Romain Poit. C, Nigel Owens. D, Wayne Barnes. Now you can have a go or you can bring in Mark.
I think I know as well, but I'll bring my colleague in.
Okay, Mark.
I think it's Wayne Barnes.
You thought I'm going to say no.
I thought it was Carley. No? Yeah.
I'm going to pass it over to Connor and Gav. Do either of you know it?
Connor.
I would have said Wayne Barnes as well.
You've got Matthew Carley, Romain Poit, or Nigel Owens.
I'm
going to say use it or lose it.
And Nigel.
It was Carly.
Carly.
Okay, no problem. That was a tricky one. The referee ones and the player of the match ones are tricky, but I was trying to mix it up. Okay, so that's the first round gone. Now we're moving
on. Mark.
No, I thought it was Barnes.
Okay, so the next round, it's Gav. It's next. So if you want to pick a number 1 to 8 without 3.
Okay. 2.
2. Question 2 is from the, it's the Pro 14 final. Leinster 16, Munster 6. And the quote is this. I'll start harping on the match by pointing out why I disagree with the choice of player of the match. Naturally, I mean absolutely nothing against whatsoever. That's basically who was player of the match. Pro 14 yeah. final, Leinster v Munster.
Can I go with options?
You can go with options. You got A, Rhys Ruddock. B, Peter O'Mahony. C, Josh Vanderfleer. D, Jack Conan.
I go with Van der Fleer.
Nope. So for 5 points, that is, I go over to the boys, Tom and Mark. Remember who was man of the match in the, or player of the match, or whatever, in the Pro 14 final?
Mark, I think it was the last one. I think,
yeah, I'd agree with you. And I think I know the end of his quote as well.
Final answer?
Jack Conan.
Conan, that's the right answer.
And I think your argument was it should have been Robbie Henshaw.
Yep. No bonus points for that, though.
Don't care. Just doing what I do from prop, showing off.
Exactly. Okay, so that's 5 points to the forwards. And we'll move on to round 3, which I think we'll find is Mark. So you want to pick a number?
I don't know whether to take my playing number of 1 or the position I should have played at 8. I'll go with 1.
1. Question 1 is from the win at Exeter Chiefs in the Champions Cup quarterfinal.
Right.
Okay. The skipping winger in question was who terrorized us with 2 early tries.
Oh. I can't remember his surname. We're ahead.
Use it. Ahead.
Give me the options.
Okay. A, Jack Noel. B, Luke Cowan-Dickey. C, Tom O'Flaherty. D, Ollie Woodburn.
Tom O'Flaherty. I was thinking Tom O'Flaherty.
That's it. Yeah, you got it.
I had Flanagan in my head, and I'm not gonna back that. Rage.
No, you still got your points. That's a healthy 10-0 lead there for you. So this is you, Connor. You're gonna need to get something here.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
I'll take ace.
You'll take ace.
Is the pressure on here? I think
the pressure. I think is seriously on here. Coming up to halftime, you know. That's question 8. Let's see. This is Ireland against New Zealand. Okay. And the quote is, just how fitting was it for it to be that man bringing the match to a close by booting it so hard towards the north stand that it might have actually broken a window?
That was James Lowe.
Bingo. 7 points. You're back in.
Nice.
Well, we got ourselves a game. Well done, sir. Half time, 7-10. Okay. Now we're going back the way we went. We're going to go back to Tom again. Pick a number.
Number 7.
Question 7. This is from the Lions tour. And I kind of sort of did a boycott on that and I didn't do write-ups, but this is from a tweet. So this should be easy enough. This is from the first test where the Lions won 22-17. And the tweet was, as a prop from days gone by myself, who was told to always ignore the ball, I have to point out what a great pickup and strong carry that was by there.
It's an obvious answer, but I don't know whether to lose all the points. I will go safe. Go the options.
Go your options. A, Rory Sutherland. B, Tadhg Furlong. C, Oxenche. D, Mako Vunipola.
Tadhg.
Yep. That's it. 5 points to the forwards.
Should have backed yourself. Remember, it's Tadhg Furlong's world. We just live in.
I should have.
No matter what the question was, if Tadhg Furlong's in there, he's the answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to make it an 8-point game.
That's
Mark.
It. That's it.
You're playing. I like it.
Using the noggin.
I might offend the Dublin lads here. We're taking our points. The goals will come, right? If you don't get that reference, that's that foreign sport. That's that foreign sport we play outside the pale, yeah?
That right, Gav, it's yourself. We've got 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, 6.
6 is from Ireland against England, 6 Nations, okay? Ireland 32, England 18. And the quote is this. I'm assuming that by now you get what I've been doing in this article up to now, using the name so often. He was popping up all over the place on the day.
Yeah, options.
A, Hugo Keenan. B, Peter O'Mahony. C, Robbie Henshaw. D, Owen Farrell.
Connor,
I think I have an idea, but what would you say?
It was me. I'd be picking Henshaw.
Okay, that was not what I was thinking.
You thinking?
I was thinking O'Mahony, but let's go Henshaw.
You going Henshaw? Final answer?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Yeah, good man.
Three good points. Good man, Connor.
Yourself got yourself back on the board. Right, so we're down to the last two questions. It's backs 10, forwards 15. So I actually think the forwards can sew it up here, Mark. So it's no pressure on you there at all.
We're going hard and we're going home. End of
that's
story.
That's it. So you got four or five there. What are you going for, man?
I'll go for my original rugby number, four, I realized, that at camp I was about 10 inches shorter than Bob Casey. So, yeah, let's go for four. Cool.
Okay, this is from the rearranged Munster-Leinster match from January. It's supposed to be played Stephen's Day, but to January. Leinster won 13-10, right? Just look at the difference between where Larmer scores the try and where places the ball for the conversion. He popped it over like it was nothing.
Options.
I don't know if this is going to help. A, Harry Byrne. B, Ross Byrne. C, Johnny Sexton. D, Ollie Campbell.
I love how in all the options there's one red herring in there, which is great. So the two Burns and Sexton are the options, yeah.
Yep.
I'll have a chat with my fellow Leinster man.
I don't think it was Johnny, because I think he played down the last time there we lost.
I thought it was Ross Byrne.
Yeah, Ross Byrne is the
yeah.
For me.
We'll go with the elder Byrne then.
You're going final with Ross Byrne, final answer. And it is indeed Ross Byrne. Fair play, well played. That's using the game well. And that makes it 18-10, which kind of makes this as Connor's playing for pride with the last go of the game. But you could get to within a point.
Here, it could be 25-10 at the end of this. You never know.
It could be. Or I could come up with a way of awarding a penalty try and a yellow card.
Does this prove the old adage that
all kinds of crack
forwards win games?
Back
to say that how much. There you go. Exactly. That's staying in. Fair play.
Yeah.
Now you can go with question five or question five. What do you think?
Give me five.
Okay. And this is from the Six Nations again. It's Wales against Ireland. So Wales won 21-16, as we all know. And standing behind as he was taking that fateful kick to the corner, Lowe's first reaction was to put his hands to his head.
Billy Burns.
Hey.
Okay. Listen, that's brilliant. 17-18. Well done, lads. Thanks for that.
I'm pretty sure that's the non-dubs two from two now in your quizzes there. Just
I think so.
I think that's called a streak, Mark.
It is, yeah. It is.
It's a winning streak.
No streaking.
So well done to the forwards, Mark and Tom, who, as you can see, ran out 18-17 winners. Now, before I let the lads go, I asked them to give their hopes and predictions for what might happen in 2022. So here's what they had to say. We heard from Mark first, then it was Tom, Connor, and finally Gav.
Leinster win the Pro 14. Sorry, URC. If it completes it. I think France will win the Six Nations. Ireland a close second, probably on points difference. I can't see a grand slam. I think it'll be France, Ireland, England, and then the rest. But then saying that, Wales will probably win a grand slam. They always seem to do it, considering how rubbish they are at provincial level. But I think it'll be fairly tight Six Nations. And the Heineken Cup, I can't look beyond Toulouse, to be honest with you. I still think Leinster have a couple of issues in the second row for that lack of power game, but I think that would be it. So Leinster for the URC, France with Ireland very close second in the Six Nations, and I would say Toulouse. If anybody was to beat Toulouse, it would be Leinster, but I think it would be Toulouse for the Heineken.
Okay. Tom, what do you think about that?
I agree with Mark. I was at the Bath game and they called out the official attendance. Actually, your good self tweeted up on WhatsApp. I think I put it up on WhatsApp, the attendance. And I was looking at the fall off in revenue from the previous. I was going, there's a bloody well good world-class second row could nab for a year on the money that we've lost, the 20,000 that didn't turn up. I still think, you know, changing tact about specific matches and stuff, I think we'd see a second row come into to Leinster for 6 months. Could be a bit of a Brad Thorne issue where we bring them in the short term. I think that's an issue that could let us just short fall short in the Heineken Cup. I think that's the main issue for me, where I'd like to see addressed in 2022. Okay. Because ultimately to win the Heineken Cup, really.
Mm-hmm. Connor?
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't agree with the idea of England finishing third in the Six Nations. I don't think they'll make it that high. I think they'd be lucky if they get four. I think, yeah, I agree with the lads. We do need someone who, you know, as great as I think Ross Maloney is, I think we need somebody who has just that extra little something as well. A bit of gamesmanship or something, and a bit of power to back up the scrum, because that great front row we have need good backup to keep them there. The other thing I really hope for 2022 is that the women get taken seriously. After everything that came out today, and how the IRFU aren't happy with the tenor of the letter, and now apparently the government want to meet representatives to see what exactly is the story, because, you know, they clearly haven't been following it. But it would be great to see that as a big change for 2022.
Absolutely. Finally to you, Gav.
Yeah, I thought, just on Connor's note there, what was interesting about that letter was the amount of current internationals on it. It wasn't just past players. So I think, it's going to be interesting what happened to that. Predictions on the Six Nations sounds about right. I think we're going to see a lot more cancelled games. Something's going to happen in the new year. Like, there's more COVID cases coming left, right and centre. I think what Scarlets did last weekend, it's not the way forward for them to forfeit the game. I know they said safety, but Osprey strung together a team. They had a guy who was a groundsman in one of the local clubs playing at Loosehead against Toulouse. Osprey's got their first sellout crowd in a long time. Like, it was meant to be an amazing atmosphere there because everybody kind of rallied around it. So no matter what, just get the games played. And I think Toulouse are good. I think Racing showed glimpses, but again, they were against a very poor Northampton on the night. And then Northampton still had a few glimpses on it. I think, yeah, it's going to be us to lose or Racing, maybe Exeter, but we'll see how that goes.
Many thanks again to Conor Cronin, Mark Jackson, Tom Coleman and Gav Hegarty for the taking part. And now's a good time to give a shout out to all my other pod guests from 2021. In order of appearance, there was Ian Frizzell, Debbie Knight, Neil Kego Keegan, Sandy Smith, Kieran Duffy, Brandon Smith, Michelle Tobin, Ben Chisneros, Keenan Willer, Mark Strange, David Arnott, Big Joe Shep, Richard Mifsud, Andy Daniel, Nathan Johns, Tom Gordon, Paula Kelly, David Topping, Stephen Murphy, Dan Pierce, at Irish Women's, Matt Price, Owen Harrison, Paul Baines, and Ikta Daffit. Overall, a wide range of fan opinion throughout the year, I hope you'll agree, and no doubt we'll hear a lot more of them in 2022. So that just leaves me to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. By all means, keep doing it, and be sure to have a happy and safe new year. We'll be back with our regular schedule of content once the rugby starts up again, so I'll talk to you then. Slán.